This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us on today's program. What makes you who you are? A lot of things make you who you are. For example, you've probably heard of the nature versus nurture debate out there. So our biology, who our parents were, our hereditary traits that are passed down, have something to do with who we are. For example, my father is 5'7" and my mother's 5'4". I'm 5'8". It's not likely that I was going to be 6'6". So there are some innate characteristics that we get due to nature. There are also some things we get from what is called nurture. Now, when we look in the Bible, let me show you an example of what I mean by nurture. Over in Proverbs 23 and 13, it says this: withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now again, this isn't talking about child abuse or physical abuse that's going to really harm a child, but it is talking about disciplining a child. It's talking about spanking as being okay here, and we need to keep that in mind when we think about how our children are nurtured, what personal experiences they have that affect their psychology, their psyche. So nurturing has a lot to do with what we become. And a third area that has a lot to do with what we become, that a lot of research has been conducted in recently, it has to do with what is happening to the fetus when it is in the womb of its mother. We're going to look a lot at that particular aspect of things today. We are going to mention nurturing a bit. And let me just mention with nurturing, I'd like to show you another scripture over in Proverbs 13 and verse 24. It says there, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And just one more along these same lines, also in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18, we read the following: chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. So we need to be aware that we've got to discipline our children, especially when they're young. If we let them do whatever they want to do, we're going to have problems as they grow older. But I'm going to get today to what's happening in the womb more so, because there's a lot of new research in regard to that. Before I do any of that, though, what I'd like to do is I'd like to offer you some free literature today and also a free CD. The literature we'd like to offer you today is titled Christian Principles of Parenting. Now, this booklet will give you a lot of great information if you're a first-time parent, or even for those of you who've been parenting for a while. Please get Christian Principles of Parenting. The CD we're offering today is titled Before Birth. This is a sermon that I gave recently, which will give more detail on the subject matter I will be addressing on today's program. To get both of these items, all you need to do is call 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. That's a toll-free call. Or go to our website to order, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. If you're interested in attending services with the Church of God International, you can find a listing on our website. And if there's nothing near to you, please send us an email so we can hook you up with someone who may be close by. All of this can be found on our website, and there's also a sermon that we provide weekly from our website at www.cgi.org. Welcome back, everyone. Those of you just joining us, we're looking at the nature versus nurture debate today, but we're going to look at it with a twist. There's a third thing that influences what we become, and that has to do with what affects a child while it's in its mother's womb. A lot of recent research has been conducted in this area, and we want to look at that today as we move forward. But let's not forget that not one of these things completely makes you who you are. Nature has something to do with who you are, those innate characteristics you get from your parents through the genes that are passed along. Nurture has something to do with who you are, the personal experiences you have through life, from your religious beliefs to your schooling, to your friends, to your family. And then finally, the thing we are going to focus on today, certain effects that happen while you are in the womb of your mother sometimes can dramatically affect a child as it begins to grow and move forward into adulthood. Let me begin by addressing some of those examples. And some of these examples are coming from a recent book that's out there titled Origins. And the writer of this book is Anne Murphy Paul. And some of the examples she cites, I'll start with this one. There were studies that were conducted on obese women who had children. And they found that many of these obese women, as compared to women who were not obese, were giving birth to children with more birth defects than the women who were not obese. Now, the inference here was that possibly the obesity, taking in foods that were not good for you, may have had some effect on these children that were born with certain birth defects. More research was done on obesity, and they found that women who had children while obese and then had anti-obesity surgery and then had more children, they found some dramatic results in looking at those particular women. And here's what they found. They found that prior to their anti-obesity surgery, many of the children born to these women had problems with obesity as they began to become adults and began to grow. Once they had the anti-obesity surgery, and again, there are different types of anti-obesity surgery. Some will reduce the size of your stomach, but the point behind them is to limit your food intake so you no longer will be obese. The children they had born to them, again, these were obese women, the children they had born to them after the anti-obesity surgery showed a dramatic decline in their children having any obesity problems. Therefore, what this research information was showing was that during the time that they were obese, there was some effect on that child in their womb as to opposed to what happened afterward after the anti-obesity surgery. Now, there are dozens of other studies along these lines with what we intake, the food we eat, the things we drink, having an effect on the fetus in the womb. One such study that I will cite was talking about women who were in the third trimester of pregnancy, and they were given carrot juice to drink. Now, some of the women were given the carrot juice, and again, carrot juice is not my choice of juice. It's not the tastiest juice out there. Other women were not given the carrot juice during the third trimester. Those who did have the carrot juice, they tested their children after they were born, and they found it was much easier to give those children carrot juice. They were much fonder of the carrot juice than the other group of children whose mothers did not get any carrot juice during the third trimester. The point behind all this is what we eat, what we drink, what our body is doing to that fetus does have a profound effect on issues and problems that that little child will have as it moves forward into adulthood. Now, another area of research that's been conducted was something that happened in 1993. And I need to give you a little background to this particular research. What was happening in 93 was there were some psychologists that wanted to work with Holocaust survivors. And they wanted to help them because many of these Holocaust survivors were suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. And you can definitely understand that. If you're worried about whether or not you're going to live or die for a year or 2 years or 3 years, you may develop heavy stress load on your body. It's similar to what many of our Afghan and Iraqi war veterans are experiencing. They go out into the field for 3 or 4 tours and they're in fear for their life as they go through the countryside day after day after day. To some, the stress will get to them, leading to post-traumatic stress disorder, similar to some of these Holocaust survivors. Now, what occurred as they were working with these survivors was they found out that many of their children were experiencing many of the same symptoms as their parents. And the researchers weren't exactly sure why this was happening. Was this something that was happening to them due to the fact they were born inside of a woman or came through the womb of a woman who had post-traumatic stress disorder? Or was it the stories that the mothers and fathers would retell to their children about the Holocaust experience? Was it the depression that some of the parents were suffering as they went through life and their children would experience as they were working with their parents day after day? The researchers were not sure, but another study was conducted where they started to look at the physicality of these children. And what they found was interesting. They found that the children of the Holocaust survivors also had low levels of the hormone called cortisol. Now, cortisol is a hormone in our body that helps us get back to an even keel or an even equilibrium when we go through a stressful experience. In the Holocaust survivors, the cortisol was reduced because they were feeling stress on a regular basis to a greater degree than an average person. But their children had lower levels of cortisol also. And they wanted to find out, did this happen in the womb? Or did it happen through experiences once they were out of the womb? Another study was conducted that helped them get that answer. This study was done with 9/11 mothers. So mothers who were pregnant during the time of the 9/11 tragedy. These same women also suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, these women either had someone at 9/11, experienced 9/11 for themselves, or were involved in New York City at that time in some degree. These women suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder. What they found was that their children, the children of many of these women, also started to suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. And they wanted to test these children at age 1 to look at this, because at age 1, they would not have had the psychological effects on them from their mother that possibly the Holocaust survivors had had. What they found in these 1-year-old kids was these low levels of cortisol, similar to the mother, similar to the Holocaust survivors. And so the research inference, what they believe has happened here, is during the time that the mother is feeling the stress within her body and continues to feel that, that the child in the womb is also experiencing that through the lower level of cortisol being available to it as it grows within the womb of its mother. These are dramatic learnings because these will affect the children as they begin to grow. It's not that they may not be able to overcome these things, but it will have a dramatic effect as they begin to grow into adulthood. Some other examples of the research from this book, Origins, that I'd like to cite goes back to some stressful experiences within the history of man. During the Arab-Israeli War, the Six-Day War, there was a study that was conducted over women who were experiencing that Six-Day War in some degree. So these women were pregnant during the time of that war. And they studied the children of these women, and they found higher levels of schizophrenia within the children of these women than women who were pregnant before the war or after the war. Again, interesting research information there. And another area where they did similar research, again, into mental illness, was conducted after China's Great Leap Forward in 1959. Now, a little bit of background into this. Mao Zedong decided that what he wanted to do was he wanted to industrialize China. So they took all the farmers that were in the countryside of China and they made them go into factory work, go into steel mills and begin to produce to industrialize China. They called it the Great Leap Forward. What they forgot was taking all these farmers out of the countryside was going to cause a famine, which it did. 30 million Chinese died because of this famine. It's the greatest famine in human history, historians say. And what happened to the children growing in the wombs of their mothers during this time? As you guessed it, there was a lack of nutrients, a lack of nutrition. These women were barely getting by with what they were eating, and they had to feed that child growing inside of them. What happened to many of these children? The statistics don't lie. Many of these children suffered from schizophrenia, a much higher degree than those born before the Great Leap Forward and those born after the Great Leap Forward. In my mind, that was not a Great Leap Forward. One other example I'd like to cite along these same lines when we look at mental illness has to do with World War II and the Nazi siege of the Netherlands in 1944. Now, as you can imagine, the Nazis had control, Germany had control over the Netherlands, and it was difficult for those living in the Netherlands at that time to get good food on a regular basis. Again, they studied the results of this. They looked at these women who were pregnant during the siege by the Nazis of the Netherlands in 1944. Once again, they found higher incidences of schizophrenia in the children born from those mothers than before the siege in 1944 and after the siege in 44. The results seem to say that that lack of nutrients and nutrition to those young children growing within those wombs had a major effect on what happened to some of those children. Again, these are terrible stories, terrible statistics, but we need to be aware of this type of thing. We need to understand the profound impact that we can have on the children growing in the womb of their parents. Now, talking about children growing in the womb of their parents, I'd like to look at a couple scriptures that I think we need to be aware of. One of these is over in the book of Job. So I'd like to turn over to the book of Job and read you a couple scriptures right now. And over in Job 31 and verse 15, it says this, "Did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb?" So your Bible seems to say that what is in the womb is a human life. Some more evidence of that can be found over in Psalms. And in Psalm 58 and verse 3, I'd like to read you something there. Listen to what this says, Psalm 58 and 3. "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Now, the implication here, again, there's debate upon this, but the implication here would seem to say that we're affected in our womb and possibly becoming wicked. Is that possible? I believe that possibility is there when you think about some of the effects on these children when they're in their mother's womb and what can happen to them once they become children, become adults, that we can hamstring them right from the start in developing once they get out. But there definitely is hope through Jesus Christ for any circumstances that people can start out in to change those circumstances and to grow from those circumstances. One other scripture I'd like to address in this regard is over in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. In Jeremiah 1 and verse 5, let's see what the prophet is reporting here. Jeremiah 1 and 5 says this, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." God believes that what is in the womb is life, ladies and gentlemen. We need to recognize that fact. We need to deal with what's in the womb as if it is a human life. We need to nurture that thing that is growing there, that baby that is growing there, as if it is a human life, to give it the greatest chance that it can have once it comes out of that womb and begins to grow and become an adult. I'd like to cite a few more of those research examples in the moments that I have left on today's program. There is more research being conducted in this particular realm today. But I want to deal with another example of some of this research. And some of this research relates to the fact that involved in this was women who were depressed or were suffering from anxiety when they were having a child in their womb. About 20% of women suffer some type of anxiety or some type of depression during their pregnancy, according to statistics. And this anxiety or these mood disorders that some women suffer during pregnancy can have an effect on that child growing in the womb. They've found that about 10% of women suffer from some form of depression during pregnancy also, and studies have been conducted on these women and the children that are born to these women. Here are some of the results of these studies. They found that many of these children are more irritable than other children. They found that many of these children suffer from behavioral problems. Some of these children are more impulsive than others, and some of these children have various problems as they are growing up when they have found that the mothers have had anxiety disorder or depression of some sort during the time that they were carrying that baby within their womb. Again, as I stated earlier, there are other research studies that are being conducted today. Most of this research has only been conducted over the last 10, 20, 30 years into looking at the problems that children are having and finding that the effects on a child in its mother's womb do play a part in some of these stories. And again, I'm generalizing here. I don't want you to think that all of the problems relating to issues that people have stem from the womb, stem from the effects of children in the womb. There are some that have these same stressors and effects on them, and they turn out not to have any of the issues that I've been addressing today. As I stated earlier in today's program, nature has an effect on who we become and who we are. And most importantly, I believe nurture plays a very big part on who we are and who we become in life. And the Bible deals a lot with that, as we read in the Proverbs, on, again, how to raise your child. You need to discipline your child. You need to teach your child in the proper manner as it's growing up. Because once that child gets into the school system, once that child begins to develop friends, once that child begins to read from other sources than maybe you approve of, or listen to some of the music, or be influenced by some of society's figures of influence today, the child is going to be impacted by all of those various means. So it's a number of things that go into making us who we are. But what we need to understand is, when we look at all these examples, at the root cause of all of them, what do we see? What do we see as the root cause of all these things? Let's think of the siege of the Nazis of the Netherlands. Let's think of 9/11. Let's think of Mao Zedong's Great Leap Forward. Let's think about obesity. And if you've ever watched The Born Loser, and you hear the stories of some of those people who've become obese, again, not all obesity, but some of them, they tell tragic stories about some psychological impact in their life of a tragic nature that led them to go to food for comfort. All of these things have something connecting them, ladies and gentlemen, and that is sin. Terrorism, 9/11, was sin. War, the Nazis laying siege to the Netherlands, was sin, which led to malnutrition. Mao Zedong's idea about the Great Leap Forward was an ego that was too large, deciding for everyone what was best, and he was wrong. It was a sin. What happened to these people, ladies and gentlemen? And when people get depressed, when people suffer from anxiety, many times it's because of trauma that has occurred in their life. So we see the impact of sin playing into a lot of these stressors, a lot of these things that cause issues for the baby in the womb, for the child growing up, and for the adult going through life. But I've got some hope for you, folks. I want you to get that booklet that I was talking about. And again, the title of that booklet is Christian Principles of Parenting. Within that booklet, you're going to find common sense ideas of how you need to nurture your child, to give your child the best opportunity of going smoothly through life. We also want you to get that CD. It's titled Before Birth. In that CD, I expand upon what we've discussed here today. I get more scripture involved in that CD on relating it to what we're discussing here, and also addressing the fact that there is hope. No matter what may have happened to us in our early life, there is hope, and only hope, through Jesus Christ. There are numerous scriptures in your Bible that speak to this hope, ladies and gentlemen, and the only one that gives us this hope is Jesus Christ and Him sacrificed. If you begin to understand that story, learn about Jesus Christ, Scripture tells us we can overcome anything. And I want us to maintain that hope. We talked about some depressing things today, no doubt about it. Some of the things we talked about are depressing. When we think about little children who are suffering from anxiety, little children who are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. But there is hope, ladies and gentlemen, and we can't lose sight of that hope. The pages of your Bible give hope for mankind, for the future of mankind, and for mankind living today. Jesus wanted to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly, and only through Him can that happen. I want to thank you for joining us on another edition of the Armor of God. Please put on the whole armor of God so you can stand in that evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support. Exploring current global conditions along with the latest social trends, the Armor of God asks the question, what are the solutions to our broken world? Right here every week, new perspectives are presented for your consideration by our commentators. The Armor of God challenges you to be vigilant in your outlook and understanding of this world in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.